Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. We have a great episode of the Jack Benny Show for you tonight. Lots of stuff going on, let's see. First of all, this is the last New Tenant show, New Year's Fantasy show, that happens before the war. And so there's lots of tension in the country, of course, because less than a year away, Pearl Harbor will happen. We get into World War II. Totally changes everything, of course. And the next time Jack comes on to do one of these New Year's shows, it's all about the war. In this case, it's all about the chances of them getting into war and the pressures that are going around the world. Of course, our country is trying to stay out of it at this time, but history will paint a different picture. Besides that all happening and making the New Tenant New Year's Fantasy skit at the end of the episode even more powerful, you also have a great bunch of funny bits that happen throughout the beginning of this episode. You have, in the New Tenant itself, a skit, you have a joke, a not-often-made joke referring to Rochester being black, and you'll have to see how that comes across. We have, for all you Phil Harris fans, we have Walter Tetley making an appearance as a 10-year-old. And Walter Tetley, of course, is Julius Abruzzo on the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show. It's fun to hear him basically doing the identical character just on this show, before he ever started doing the character, of course, on Phil Harris and Alice Faye. Let's see, what else do we have going on? Oh, Mary Kelly is on this episode for a little while. And the whole Mary Kelly thing, if you haven't heard my other podcast, is basically she was Jack's fiance until they broke it off, and then she got married, and Mary Livingston became his new fiance and wife. And I really think it shows, because Mary knew at this point that Mary Kelly was his previous fiance. And I think it goes against the grain of what we think of Mary being, the Mary Livingston in real life, in that she was supposed to be a fairly harsh person, and yet here she is allowing Mary Kelly to make some money by being on the Jack Benny Show, which is a pretty big thing of her. I don't know if my wife could do that with an intense previous relationship that I had, so who knows. That's pretty wild. Let's see. Anything else going on here? Oh, Phil's explanation of the whole New Year's fantasy concept to Dennis is priceless and probably the best one. I mean, it gets explained a lot over the years to Dennis, and Dennis never quite makes it up. But this is the best, I think, of the explanations, and watching Phil stumble all over the place, and then it's just good stuff. So, enjoy this episode. It's fantastic. Tune in tomorrow for Fred Allen from this time 70 years ago, just like this episode is. And Fred Allen, we are getting to the point where we actually have the entire episodes. We've been missing the songs and missing the commercials. But now, starting with this episode on, I have the whole show, 60 minutes. In fact, I have the East and West Coast feeds. So, two versions of the Fred Allen Show, and so I'm going to be broadcasting both of them tomorrow night, so you might want to listen to those. Anyway, enjoy these great episodes of the Jack Benny Show, and join us on Saturday, and every Saturday night we're having starting this Saturday, we're going to have old Jack Benny shows. Eventually they'll be the ones that are exactly 75 years old, where these are exactly 70 years old. So they'll be back from 1936, and we'll be starting those up soon. This Saturday, though, we're just going to start up kind of a best of Jack Benny featuring when he introduced new characters and so forth. So it's going to be a lot of fun, so join us on Saturday night for that. And we'll see you on Sunday for another episode of Jack Benny from 60 years ago. Our most up-to-date Jack Benny that we play, I suppose. And some great episodes happening there, too. Hope you've been enjoying all of our shows. I've been enjoying bringing them to you, of course, as always. See you next time.
The Jell-O program, coming to you from Hollywood, California, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Encino Madness. Just as it's fun to close the year with a happy celebration, so it's always pleasant to finish each meal with a grand flourish by serving rich, shimmering Jell-O. Jell-O's gay colors and refreshing flavor top off a dinner in perfect style. So during the next year, friends, plan to serve Jell-O even oftener than you do now. Get several packages of Jell-O tomorrow, choosing any of Jell-O's six delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. Incidentally, strawberry and raspberry Jell-O both taste better than ever. They have a new, improved flavor obtained by using a natural flavor base artificially enhanced. And this gives them a rare goodness rivaled only by the juicy ripe fruit itself. A unique flavor so distinctive that it cannot be duplicated in any other way. Start now to enjoy a treat without equal, America's favorite gelatin dessert, Jell-O. Madness, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, our program last Sunday came to you from New York City. Immediately after the broadcast, the entire Jell-O gang left for Hollywood, and Christmas found us aboard a Union Pacific train passing through Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska.
So before starting our program this evening, we would like to turn back the clock to last Wednesday night and show you how we celebrated Christmas Eve under these unusual circumstances.
Yes, dances.
About 7 p.m., Jack went into the observation car with Rochester to decorate a huge Christmas tree which he had purchased in Chicago. And even though we were on the train, Jack was determined to give us a real old...
Jingle bells, jingle bells, gee, they are terrific. Imagine spending Christmas on the good old Union Pacific.
Rochester.
Jingle bells, jingle
bells. Rochester, will you stop that singing and hold the ladder steady? The way this train is swaying, I can hardly keep my balance.
Okay, I got it.
Now, let's see. Darn it, I wish I had thought of buying some ornaments. Rochester, hand me those oranges and bananas there. I'll hang them up.
Should I peel them?
No, I just want to add a little color to the tree. I ought to have something on the top here. Rochester, where's that ham sandwich I cut into a star?
I got hungry and ate 3 points off it.
Look at it. Now tear up some more timetables and sprinkle them on the lower branches down there.
The conductor said we should stop tearing them up.
Well, we got to have snow, don't we?
But the conductor said...
I don't care what the conductor says. I'm running this tree.
He's pretty mad at you anyway, boys. He found out that Dennis Day is over 12.
What?
I told that boy not to roll his pants down.
Oh, well. The heck with the conductor.
He found out I wasn't a porter, too.
Nobody told you to say that. Now, let's see. This side isn't right yet. I think I ought to hang some kind of an ornament up here. Rochester, lend me your wristwatch.
Here you are, boss.
Thanks. Hey, wait a minute. This is my wristwatch. How come you were wearing it?
I gave it to me for Christmas.
Oh. You gave you my watch.
Yeah, you want to put a card on it?
I'm keeping it. Now, let's see. I think I'll hang it over here.
A little to the right, boss.
No. It looks good here.
Then I'd move it a little to the left.
No. I like the watch right where it is.
Then I'd move one of those three oranges. It looks like a pawn shop.
Oh, I see what you mean. Now, if I can only... Oh, hello, Mary.
My goodness, are you still on that ladder?
Well, I got to get this finished before the party tonight. By the way, did you speak to the brakeman like I told you to?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, Christmas tree or no Christmas tree, you can't have his red lantern.
That's fine cooperation. Can't even have any lights on this tree. Rochester, scratch the brakeman from my Christmas list.
Okay.
And the engineer thought I was crazy when I asked him for the bell off the engine.
Oh, he did. All right, there goes the engineer's present. I'll scratch his name off.
Scratch the fireman, too. He said you can roast your own chestnuts.
Darnest thing I ever heard of.
Well, gee whiz, you don't expect him to turn the whole train upside down just because you bought a Christmas tree.
Mary, I'm just trying to make the trip a little more enjoyable, that's all. Rochester, how does the tree look from down there?
It ain't believable.
Well, you're supposed to use your imagination. Now, the timetables I tore up represent snow.
Uh-huh.
And those oranges are supposed to be beautiful glass ornaments.
Uh-huh.
And the bananas are long, silvery icicles shimmering through the branches.
Doggone, how can anyone get that high just on a ladder?
Well, I didn't expect you to understand it. Say, Mary, where's the rest of the gang? Have you seen Phil?
Yeah, he's in the club car trying to make a date with a girl. He even promised her a screen test.
That's just like Phil. The minute he gets on a train, he tries to date up a girl. Where's Dennis?
He's the girl. Phil's plastered.
Oh, no, he isn't. I saw him an hour ago, and he was all right. Mary, let me have one of your earrings. I want to put something shiny on the end of this branch.
Oh, hang up your gold tooth and let me alone.
Mary, I'm trying to get this finished. Now, please help me, will you?
Okay. Say, Jack, here comes that kid that got on at Omaha.
Oh, yeah, the pest. You ought to be in bed.
Hey, sweetheart, what are you doing up that ladder?
What do you think I'm doing? I'm decorating a Christmas tree.
What, bananas? You're nuts.
Those bananas are long icicles. Now go away. Darn it, I wish I'd bought some tinsel. That's just what I need here.
Hey, sweetheart, are you Santa Claus?
Maybe I can get some tin foil. That'll help.
Hey, are you Santa Claus?
Yes, I'm Santa Claus. Now beat it, will you?
Well, where's your red underwear?
My red underwear.
He's got it on, believe me.
Yes, I'm going to keep it on when we get to California. Mary, hand me that lampshade. I'll hang it up here over the ham sandwich.
Boy, what a screwball.
Oh, yeah? You wouldn't dare say that if we were alone. Now, run along, will you? Run along. Your mother wants you.
My mother hates me.
I don't blame her. Now, get going. Scram.
Okay, Blue Eyes.
Well, I'll be darned. Even kids notice him. I hope he stays away.
Oh, Jack, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, picking a fight with a 10-year-old kid.
He started it. He called me a screwball.
Well, if the screw fits, put it on.
Slug that brat if he comes in here again. Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Well, for goodness sake, what's that?
It's a Christmas tree, Phil. That's the best I can do on this train.
Holy smoke, are we on a train?
Oh, fine. Of course we're on a train.
Well, I better tell my guitar player he just went out to play golf.
Oh. Well, he better have his niblick with him. He's going to have a little trouble getting over the Rockies. Here comes my friend, the conductor.
Mr. Benny, three people in the next car want to go to bed, and they've all got up a burst. How much longer are you going to use that ladder?
Tell them to keep their shirts on. I'll be through in a minute.
They got their shirts off, and they want to go to bed.
Well, I can't help it. I've got a job to do here. These icicles don't hang right.
Icicles, smicicles. Give me that ladder.
Let go of that. Let... Whoop, whoop.
We're going around a curve, boy.
Whoop. Rochester, hold that ladder.
back.
What?
You're all covered with schmeisicles.
Yeah, look at me. Now, conductor, this is all your fault. If I told you once, I told you five times. I'd be through with this ladder in a minute. And now this thing. We've got to do this thing all over.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what happened Christmas Eve on the train.
That's right, Don, but we still had a lot of fun.
Oh, we sure did. And now, getting back to our program, Dennis Day will sing that popular Spanish ballad, Perfidia. Take it, Dennis.
Tonight, my heart cries out, Perfidia, for I have found you, love of my life, in some other lover's arms. Your eyes are echoing, Perfidia, forgetful of our promise of love, you're sharing another's charm. With a sad lament, my dreams have faded like a broken melody. And the gods of love look down and laugh at what romantic fools we mortals be. And now I know my love was not for you. And so I'll take it back with a sigh. Perfidia means goodbye. Si puedes tú con Dios hablar. Pregúntale si alguna vez he dejado de adorar. Y el mar, espejo de mi corazón, las veces que me ha visto llorar, la perfidia de tu amor. With a sad lament, my dreams have faded like a broken melody. And the gods of love look down and laugh at what romantic fools we mortals be. And now I know my love was not for you. And so I'll take it back with a sigh. Perfidia means goodbye.
Perfidia, sung by Dennis Day. And very good, Dennis. I didn't know you could sing in Spanish. You really did a great job.
Gracias, senor.
Gracias. That reminds me, Dennis, you haven't mowed my lawn in 3 weeks. It's growing. You know, it's growing pretty high.
I'll take care of it tomorrow.
Anytime after lunch. Say, Don.
Yes, Jack.
I want to congratulate you on the way you described our Christmas Eve on the train a little while ago, but I wish you had put a happy ending to it.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, if you remember, I put the tree back up, and then we all sat around, opened our presents, and had a jolly good time.
Yes, we did, Jack. And I want to thank you for that lovely pickle fork you gave me and the little woman.
Well, I wanted to get you something novel, yet useful.
Yet cheap.
Now, Mary, if you think that a solid silver pickle fork from Tiffany's is cheap, you're just silly. Let me tell you something, Don. You can hock that fork at any pawn shop in town for $35.
Thank you, I will.
You're welcome, and nobody but a big fat announcer would say a thing like that. Oh, Dennis, did you like the present I gave you?
Oh, yes. Thanks very much, Mr. Benny.
You're welcome.
Gee whiz, I can hardly wait till summer.
Well, you'll just have to wait, that's all.
What did he give you, kid?
A bottle of white shoe polish.
Yes, sir. A quart bottle of Clancy's Classy Cleanser. As enough to last you all summer.
Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of summer, let me remind you that regardless of season, Jell-O is
Wait a minute, Don, wait a minute. You don't have to sneak in a plug tonight. This is the last program of 1940, and your commercial is going to have real production. Okay, Phil, let's have it.
Hit it, boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the last time this year, let me tell you about Jell-O. During the past 12 months, millions of happy housewives have gone to their neighborhood grocer and returned with boxes of tempting and appetizing Jell-O. Well, they know it's not only economical and easy to make, but comes in those six delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. I thank you.
There you are, Don. There you are. That was all for you. Well, Don, the next time you talk about Jell-O, it'll be 1941.
Yep, next Tuesday will be New Year's Eve. Oh, and by the way, Jack, are you planning anything special for that night?
I certainly am, Don. It's a big night for me.
Jack's going to put on his full-dress suit and go to the midnight show at the Pantages.
Not this year, sister. I'm going downtown to the Paramount. You see, and they know why. Nah, I didn't even have to say it.
Say, Jackson.
What?
Why don't you come out to the Wiltshire Bowl Tuesday night? Balloons, paper hat, confetti, and all that stuff you love.
Well, I might do that, Phil.
Bring a girl along.
No, if I come over, I'll be alone.
What for?
All of Jack's girls have to work on New Year's Eve.
Not all of them. Gladys Biscoe hasn't worked since that steam table fell on her foot. Poor kid.
How's she getting along, Mr. Benny?
Oh, fine. We're suing. Say, Phil, I may bring Gladys at that. I wonder if she's got an evening gown.
I've seen that dame, Jackson. Keep her covered.
Now, wait a minute, Phil. Our ideas of beauty aren't quite the same. You like one type of girl, and I like Gladys's type. Say, that's what makes horse races.
She could run on any track in the country.
Don't be catty. Say, Phil, how about playing a band number before I get sick of Gladys myself? What do you say?
Okay, I'm back with my own boys this week, and we're going to play in the old Harris manner. You know, good and loud.
You mean loudly?
That's it, loudly.
You can even change that a little. Go ahead. Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I want to thank you for that lovely toupee you gave me for Christmas.
Well, why aren't you wearing it?
It's not cold enough. Goodbye.
You ought to see his head, folks. What a spot for the ice follies. Play, Phil. You Walk By, played by Phil Harris and his Loudly Orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this being the last program of the current year, for the feature attraction of the evening, we are going to present the 1940 version of our annual New Year's fantasy entitled Father Time Rides Again. Now, in this whimsical drama, I will play the part of Old Man 1940. And Mary...
Yeah?
You will be Mrs. 1940, my loving, loyal wife. And we have 12 children. January, February, March, April...
May, June, and Herman.
That's July, and so on. Now, the scene of our play is the home of Mr. and Mrs. 1940, who live in a great big house called the Earth. It is almost...
Say, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Dennis.
You know, I read this play 4 times, and I still can't understand it.
Well, you see, Dennis, this drama is... explain it to him, Phil.
Okay. You see, Dennis, this drama is a sort of an allegorical fantasy which symbolizes the old year and the subsequent tradition. Transition.
Oh, I get it. Thanks.
You're welcome. Listen, Jackson, the next time you give me a line like that, I'm going to punch you right in the nose.
Phil, you know you loved it. And now for our play. The scene, a great big house called the Earth. The time, almost midnight of December 31st, when Mr. and Mrs. 1940's lease is about to expire. Curtain. Music. Oh, Mariah. Mariah.
What do you want, Pa?
Better hurry up with that packing. Landlord said we got to get out by midnight to make room for the new tenant.
The new tenant? Who's he?
Oh, some little nudist by the name of 41. He don't know what he's getting into, does he?
Nope. Things around here sure have been a mess.
You said it. But of that, Mariah, we ain't so bad off in this side of the house. We got 48 rooms that's in pretty good condition. Yes, sir.
Say, Pa, turn on the moon. I can't see what I'm packing here.
Okay. Hey, Moon!
What do you want, you old fossil?
I want some light down here and quit winking at my wife.
Okay. Say, you want some milk, too?
Milk?
Yeah, a cow just jumped over me. Boy, that's a Lulu.
Well, I'll be darned.
Quit gabbing, Pa. We ain't got much time.
That's right. There's them shooting stars. They're having a feud again.
Doggone it, Pa. Even with all our troubles, I kind of hate to leave here.
So do I. Yes, sir.
Darn those flies. They're all over the house. Shoo, shoo.
Leave them alone, Ma. We need them. Well, 5 minutes to 12. We better start rounding up the kids.
Wonder what? Who that can be.
I'll go over and see. I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair. Boy, am I hep to the jive. Well, well, look who's here.
Who is it, Pa?
It's Venus from across the Milky Way.
Hello, kid.
Well, what are you doing here?
I heard you were leaving tonight, so I thought I'd drop over and say goodbye.
Yeah, mighty sweet of you. Say, Venus, you put on a little weight, didn't you?
Yeah, especially around the equator.
Yet and so I can't tell you from the Big Dipper. Well, thanks for dropping in, Venus. Been a pleasure knowing you.
Same here. Goodbye, kid.
Goodbye. Well, Ma, it's almost midnight. So put on that silly hat of yours and let's get going.
Okay, Pa.
There's the first stroke of 12. I wonder what's keeping the new tenant.
Don't worry, he'll be here.
I suppose so.
Say, Pa, look out the window. There's a dark cloud.
Oh, yes. Are you going to rain, cloud?
No, just passing by.
Darn that cloud, it's wearing my wristwatch again. Oh, well. Time's a-fleetin'. But we can't leave until that little rascal gets here.
That must be him now.
Yep. Come in. Well, hello, young fella. Are you the little New Year?
I ain't Baby Sandy.
Well, well, my boy, come right in. Well, this is it, young man. Tell me, what you think of your new home?
Boy, what a dump. This house could sure stand a lot of fixing up.
I know it, son. A lot of things wrong. That darn Mars has been acting up all year. Of course, he hasn't bothered us in this wing so much. Everything's okay from the Hudson Bay window in the attic clear down to the basement. But come over here, son. I want to show you something. See that other wing of the house right across that big swimming pool?
Yes, sir.
Those rooms are in the gall-derndest condition you ever seen. Holes in the furniture, walls torn down. Tell you, son, it's lucky we got that swimming pool. Yep.
Well, gee, who's causing all the trouble over there?
Oh, a couple of hoodlums. One of them is getting pretty sick of it, I understand. A bulldog's been nipping at him. Son, you got a tough job ahead of you.
But everything's all right here, eh, mister?
Yep, everything's fine. You got the same caretaker that was here for the last 8 years. You ought to get to know him.
What's his name?
Just call him Franklin. Nice fella.
For heaven's sake, let's get going.
Just a second, Ma. Now, there's just one more thing, son.
What's that?
Well, after I leave, if you see another fella puttering around that looks as old and decrepit as I am, don't throw him out. It ain't another father time. It's just Fred Allen. He's been kicking around here for years.
Oh, sourpuss, eh?
That's him.
Come on, Pa. You're talking too much.
I am coming, Ma. Round up the kids and we'll be on our way. Well, good luck, son. Watch your step.
Thanks, old-timer.
You're welcome. Happy New Year, young fella.
Happy New Year.
Come on, Ma. Let's go.
This being the time of the year when most of you housewives are getting new 1941 calendars to hang on your kitchen wall, I'd like to tell you about another kind of calendar that you can get, a calendar that you can keep on your kitchen shelf and use every single day of the year. It's the new calendar of desserts, a beautiful recipe book that's really different, a recipe book such as you've never laid eyes on before. The calendar of desserts contains 365 novel and intriguing ideas for desserts. A brand new suggestion for every dinner during the whole year. For example, on page 5, there's a dessert made with plump, juicy black cherries and rich red cherry jello that will bring a gleam to every eye every time it's served. And there are 364 other swell ideas in this handy calendar of desserts. So send in right now for your copy. Just mail 10 cents in coin or stamps to Jack Benny, care of General Foods, Battle Creek, Michigan, for this clever year-round calendar of desserts. Send for it today.
The last number of the 13th program in the current Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank the radio critics, writers, and columnists of America for the honors bestowed upon my program, members of my cast, and myself in the recent poll conducted by Radio Daily. I also want to thank our listeners as well as my authors, Bill Morrow and Ed Boulogne. We all wish you listeners a very happy New Year. Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L-O.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another edition of the Fred Allen Show. This is one of my late Christmas presents to you folks. We now are entering the area where we have complete episodes of the Fred Allen Show. So far this season, we've presented you shows that are missing the songs, and the commercials have been cut out. And so they were running about 40 minutes. Well, now we have full hour-long shows with the commercials intact and the songs intact, which I'm really excited about because these are the seasons with Kenny Baker, who used to sing with the Jack Benny Show. It's just really neat to hear him sing a song. We've been getting introduced to songs, maybe heard a couple notes of the song, and then they would get cut. Now we get to hear the full songs, which is nice. Now, some of you folks may be going, oh man, that means a lot more fast-forwarding. Well, and it might for you, but give it a try. See if you can live with the music. I'm surprised, actually, of how much music is in these Fred Allen shows. There's quite a bit. The other thing is we have an embarrassment of riches provided to us. We have not only the East Coast feed, but the West Coast feed of the show as well, which is a lot of fun. And it looks like, I'll have to do some more research on this, but it looks like they aired it on two different nights. So they would present it for the East Coast first, and then the following night do it for the West Coast, which means the West Coast is probably a little more of a polished show. But the East Coast one then would be perhaps rougher, but also maybe have more spontaneity to it. So what I think I'm going to do right now, the way I'm doing this, is you might want to hear the two different, I can see somebody want to hear the two different episodes if you're a big Fred Allen fan. So I'll probably post both of them for a while, and we'll see how that goes. But I'll just do the podcast on the one that, if I have time, I'll look for the one with the clearest sound. If I don't have time to listen ahead of time, I'll probably just go with the West Coast feed, thinking that it's probably a more polished show, and do it that way. So, anyway, enjoy tonight's episodes featuring all of Kenny Baker's performances in their entirety, which is pretty cool. These are the episodes I've talked before about the fact that I didn't even have these, access to these episodes, before last year. And before that, I'd run through some of them before, and the earliest episode I had was, I believe, sometime in late January. So we're still, as of this episode and the next few, still sharing episodes, and we have all season long that I've never had access to before. So it's just pretty neat to have all this Kenny Baker that I haven't heard and that you folks probably haven't heard before being shared for the first time. So hope you enjoy the whole episode. Fred and the gang are wonderful. I want to spend some time on Alan Reed, who I just love, who played Fred Flintstone, of course, and who's a regular on the Fred Allen Show for years and years and years. And just does a terrific, a wonderful, wonderful voices throughout the show. So, anyway, enjoy the show, and we'll see you next time.
The Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, our guest, Anthony Polamani, Major Bowles Amateur of the Month, the Martins and Al Goodman's Orchestra. It's Texaco time. Thank you.
in the weather, a change in the sea. So from now on there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me's gonna be the same. I'm gonna change my way of living, if that ain't enough. Then I'll change the way I strive my stuff. Change your music, change your song. Change your dresses to gay sarong. There'll be some changes. There'll be some changes. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1941 may come and 1940 may go, but we bring you a man who just goes on and on and on,
Jimmy,
and on and on and on and on. And here he is, ready to go on and on, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me, Mr. Wallington, but since we are starting what in some circles is called a new year, Don't you think you might have opened the program with a little enthusiasm?
I should get steamed up about the new year after the shortchanging I got on this program in 1940.
You mean this program owes you something from the old year?
Yes, Mr. Allen. Three lines. Three very funny lines of mine were deliberately eliminated in 1940.
Well, why should three lines of yours be cut out of the script?
Because I'm a little too funny for your own comfort, Allen.
Oh, brother! And I do not hail you as a relative. Now, look, last week, J.W., you weren't going to say another word. You recall that?
Yes.
That's quite a long-distance memory feat for you. Now, you weren't going to say another word. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Now, are you mad enough to make that same gesture tonight?
No. Tonight I'll talk.
Tonight you'll talk.
But I won't be amusing.
You won't be amusing.
No.
Can we depend on that?
That's...
Well, yes. Jimmy, you... I mean, you're not going to change your stride. Jimmy, you are as funny as a slow leak in an oxygen tent.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll bet you're still afraid to put my three lines to the test.
Well, who's afraid? Have you got them with you?
Right here.
All right. Now, what lines of yours were maliciously deleted?
On October the 9th, 1940, I didn't say...
What?
Hello, Fred. I'm having trouble finding a wife. All the women I meet are single.
Well, that's one. Now, wait a minute. Not with your eyes. None of that. No mugging or anything. You just read the lines that were cut out on you here.
On November the 6th...
None of that Grimaldi stuff, you know, when we're not... All right, now that's one.
On November the 6th, this was cut.
Yes?
Hello, Fred. I just lost my wristwatch. On you, it looks good.
That's two.
And on December 18th, 1940, this line was purposely deleted.
Which one?
Hello, Fred. Do you need many men to start a tug of war? Nope. Only takes a couple of jerks.
Have you finished?
Yes.
Now do you know why those three lines were cut out? Well, that balances our account. That balances our account as far as I'm concerned. And we turn to the news. I ought to put
O-F-A.
Yes, Kenny.
Were you about to say something?
Yes, I said I was about to install a treadmill in here to get the actors coming by on time. I could talk to them. But,
Well, look, as long as you straighten out your books for 1940...
Kenny, now don't tell me the program owes you lines from the last year, too.
No, F.A., according to my books, I owe the program.
You owe the program?
Yeah. Lines? On December 11th, I stumbled over a line and had to repeat four words of it. I'm four words over.
Well, so?
So I'm unbalanced. Balance me, buddy.
Well, now, wait a minute, Kenny. Now, here's a line of yours coming up in the script that just happens to be four words long. It's an answer to a question of mine.
Yes?
Now, I'll ask you this question, and then you don't answer. You see, and that'll square us.
Okay. Let me have it.
All right. Here goes. Was your concert in Walla Walla a big success the past semester? Great. That makes us even, Kenny. And so is Kenny and our books balanced. We turn to the latest news of the week. That's semester instead of semester, isn't it? Well, I ought to have a tutor here in case words slip out. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. York City, New York. Tonight, January 1st, 1941, the Texaco News bears its editorial head in tribute to the year 1940, which departed this life at midnight. Newspapers, newsreels, and other radio programs have brought you the highlights of 1940. The Texaco News gives you the lowlights. Tonight, we parade before you a frowsy group of stagnant nobodies whose unimportant didos during the past year can only be classed as stumbles in the march of time. The first lowlight award for non-essential activity in radio goes to Mr. Dittmar Wink. What was your contribution to radio, Dittmar?
I broke the 1940 record for sending in box tops.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, sir, I sent in over 30,000 box tops.
Why?
It was that stumbo contest.
What is stumbo?
It's some powder that fizzes. It oxidizes your stomach.
Well, I've heard of alkalizing, but...
Well, this is oxidizing. It gives your stomach fresh air.
Is that necessary?
Oh, sure. Your stomach is in there hanging in the dark. It can't get no fresh air. Stumbo takes care of that condition.
Oh, I see. And what was this Stumbo contest?
If you sent in 30,000 Stumbo box tops, they sent you a neon hall tree.
A neon hall tree?
Yeah, it keeps you from tripping over it in the dark.
Say, it must be beautiful lit up.
Oh, it looks like the skeleton of a pear tree on fire.
Well, tell me, how did you ever collect the 30,000 Stumbo box tops?
Oh, I was taking Stumbo every 10 minutes, 24 hours a day.
Well, has it improved the condition of your stomach?
How should I know?
Well, it's your stomach.
Not no more, it ain't.
Well, how come?
They got it in a bottle at the Mayo Clinic.
Give it my regards as you pass through Minnesota, Mr. Dittmar Wink. A lowlight award for work in the field of science goes to Professor Phoenix Trad. What was your scientific accomplishment, Professor Trad?
I founded science by splitting the atom.
You split the atom? How did you do it, Professor?
Well, it was an accident, really.
What happened?
Well, I was in my laboratory.
Yes?
I had the atom in my hand. I was fooling around with it.
Yes?
I happened to drop the atom.
And?
The darn thing split.
Which is more than the audience did, Professor.
Fame is just an accident, don't you think?
Well, I will never know, to be frank with you. But thank you for inquiring, Professor Phoenix Trad. A low-life award for achieving fame in New York Cafe Society goes to Colonel Magnus Creep. How old are you, Colonel, old boy?
Yes, I'm 82.
And Cafe Society cited you?
Yeah, I got the loving cup right here.
Oh, at 82, you won this loving cup in a contest. Well, how did it happen?
Well, sir, I was sitting around a night spot down the village one night looking at the floor show and wishing.
Wishing what?
Wishing I was 40 years younger.
I see.
Couples were jitterbugging, the band was jiving. Waiter tells me I'm wanted on the phone.
And?
I cut through the couples to get to the phone.
Yes?
Right in the middle of the dance floor, I throw a fit.
Yeah?
I have my legs fly up. I get two strokes and a chill. I'm shaking and jumping. First thing I know, I'm in the chandelier.
Did they send for a doctor?
No, no. They pulled me down from the chandelier and presented me with this loving cup. It's engraved.
Well, what does that inscription say, Colonel?
That's to the oldest jitterbug to jit in 1940.
Thank you, and congratulations, Colonel Magnus Creep.
You want to see me, Charleston?
No. We haven't got a number old enough to go with that. We've only got one-day-old things here. The woman who had the most trouble in 1940 was Miss Dora Dreen. What misfortune befell you, Miss Dreen?
It's just been one calamity after another all year.
Oh, you poor thing. What happened?
Well, first I was hit by a bus.
Oh.
I had 8 operations.
Mm.
Then my mother set herself on fire.
Oh.
The next day, a loan shark put my father in jail. And next, the fellow I was going to marry was shot coming up the aisle by a traveling salesman.
Oh.
Yesterday, the oil stove exploded and killed Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh,
Tomorrow, I'm going to be run over by a taxicab.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Please, Dora. Now, you've had a lot of trouble, that I will admit. How do you know the trouble you're going to have?
I'm I'm in radio. I work on all of them daytime serial shows.
Oh, you'll have plenty of trouble and condolences on your unhappy new year to come. The outstanding 1940 musical faux pas, recorded at Carnegie Hall, was committed by Herman Lix, Jr. You are a member of the symphony orchestra, Herman.
Yeah, I've been playing with Solid Sam and his Seventh Sending. It's a swincopation combo.
Yeah, well, how did you get into Carnegie Hall?
I filled in for a guy, a cornet job.
What? Tell me, I hope you'll speak frankly. Did you find the symphony music difficult for you?
Nah, first number is accompanying some opera tenor. I'm toyed cornet. I only got two notes to play.
All through the tenor solo?
All through the solo, I'm playing the same two notes.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I'll show you. I got my horn right here.
Oh, that's fortunate.
In this guy's solo, the orchestra goes, la da 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 da.
Yes?
Then the third cornet plays.
This goes on all night?
By the hour. The orchestra goes, la da 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 da, and I play.
Well, it must be monotonous.
For the third cornet, brother, it's murder. Yeah, that's what caused me trouble.
What trouble?
For about an hour, it's the same thing. La-da, da-da-da, da-da.
Well, what happened at the end of the hour?
Well, I must have dozed off. I dream I'm back playing with Solid Sam.
Yes?
Yeah, me cue came. La-da, da-da-da, da-da.
And what did you play? What happened in Carnegie Hall?
Well, you should have seen it. The tenor fainted. Two dowagers started a conga in the aisles. It was pandemonium.
Are you still playing?
Yeah, I'm playing tonight.
You're playing third cornet at Carnegie Hall?
No, I'm playing pinochle in the Union Club room.
Well, thank you, Herman Lix. And now, for his first song of 1941, Kenny Baker has consulted his Gilbert and Sullivan portfolio, and from the Mikado, Kenny sings A Wandering Minstrel Eye.
A wandering minstrel eye, a thing of shreds and patches, of ballad songs and snatches, and dreamy lullaby. My catalogue is long, through every passion ranging, and to your humors changing, I tune my supple song. I tune my lovers fear, while sympathetic tears my cheeks bedew. Sentiment is wanted. I take patriotic ballads cut and dry. For wherever a country's banner may be planted, all other local banners are defied. Our warriors in serried ranks assemble. Never quail are they conceited if they do. And I shouldn't be surprised if nations tremble before the mighty troops of Titipu.
all heave-ho, for the wind is free. Hurrah, the trip into Helmsley, hurrah for the homeward bound. In a howling breeze may tickle a landsman's taste, but the happiest star a sailor sees is when he's down at an inland town with his Anansi on his knees. Yo-ho! And his arm around her waist. Of ballad songs and snatches and dreamy lullaby and dreamy lullaby.
Back off and sit down. And now a low-light award we overlooked in the in the Texaco News. It goes to the worst poetess of 1940, Elizabeth Barrett Sagging. What sort of verse do you create, Miss Sagging?
Automobile epics, mostly.
Really?
I'm known as the puncture-proof poetess. The work I'm reading tonight is called A Fool There Was.
That sounds like Kipling.
Purely coincidence. I've never kippled.
Oh. You're not the outdoor type, obviously. Well, let us hear your poem.
A fool there was, and he had a car, even as yours and mine. He loved its ignition, its shatterproof glass. But what was this car that he thought had such class? Just gears and a seat and a gallon of gas. Even as yours and mine.
Well, thank you very much.
Just gears and a seat and a gallon of gas. Even as yours and mine.
Excuse me, madam. We get the idea. It's a seep through. A car is just gears and a seat and a gallon of gas.
Yes, Fred, we get the idea, but it's a mistaken idea. There's more to a car than that.
Can you prove it, Larry?
Yes, indeed, Fred. Because there is more to a car than meets the eye. More to it than its streamlined body, its big, powerful-looking motor. In fact, it's often the little things you can't see that make a difference. Like the way a car responds, the feel of it on the highways, on the hills, and in traffic. And here's where the flexible power of Sky Chief, Texaco's different premium gasoline, can give your driving a lift, add a new thrill. You'll find it a luxury to step into your car and enjoy Sky Chief power sweeping you over the hills or getting you through traffic. But when you check the mileage, you'll agree Sky Chief is one driving luxury you can afford. Try Sky Chief at your Texaco dealer at the usual premium price.
15 characters in search of a downbeat have just played Frenesi. And now, ladies and gentlemen, again with the door. Well, that's radio today, I guess. It's either a quiz or it's somebody knocking on a door. I've got a good mind not to say to come in. He'll be out there for 4 days at Afro rates. It'll be $200 and something. Well, come in.
Excuse me, how can I get out of here?
You can get out through that door you just came in.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
It's that new 6th Avenue subway. People are coming up in buildings all over New York. They don't know how to get in or out of it. I heard about a man in the Radio City Music Hall. He went down to the smoking room, stepped through a door. The next thing he knew, it was Queens Plaza. But he made friends there and settled down and is very happy the last 3 months. One of those trees... One of those trees, you know, the trees growing out on 6th Avenue started dying during the past week, and the mayor put on his sandhog hat and went down through the grating to see what the trouble was. And the mayor found that the tree's roots were gone. The roots had gotten on a 6th Avenue local and were growing downtown. On speculation. But, oh, hello, Portland.
Hello.
Well, well, well. Well, you certainly look nice and chipper to start 1941.
Yes, I guess nearly everybody is under the weather after celebrating last night.
Oh, you know, there are so many people at home with big heads around the country today that they changed the whole radio schedule.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, instead of Bulliver going on the air every half hour, Alka-Seltzer has been broadcasting every 15 minutes.
Well, I've got to go.
What is your rehearsed rush? What
well,
is that?
I'm taking Mama down to the doctor again.
The doctor? The vet? What's the matter? What's the matter with your mother?
It's her bookends.
Her bookends? What sort of a malady is that?
The bookend started all of Mama's trouble.
Well, what bookend?
The ones you gave her for Christmas.
Oh.
We've been going to the doctors ever since.
Well, I am clinic-minded, and frankly, I don't get it.
Well, when you gave Mama the bookends,
yeah,
she didn't have anything to put between them, so she had to buy a book.
So?
So, as long as Mama had the book, she thought she'd read it.
So?
So, she found out her eyes were bad,
oh,
and Mama had to get glasses.
So?
So, Mama put on her glasses and tried to read the book, but her tongue was dry.
What has a dry tongue got to do with reading?
Mama couldn't wet her thumb to turn over the pages.
So?
So, Mama had to go to another doctor.
And?
He put her on a liquid...
I put the switch in there, you get it? How you stay in radio, keep twisting those conjunctions around. They don't beat you to it.
Well, he put her on a liquid diet. Today, Mama'll know.
Know what?
If her tongue is moist enough to wet her thumb to turn over the pages in her book.
Well, that's good. She may climb out of that moron class yet. Well, all right, and goodbye.
Goodbye? I haven't introduced our guest.
No, I'll take care of that if you don't mind. Now, this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Major Bowes, Amateur of the Month. He is a young man who scored a sensational hit on the Major's program recently, and tonight he makes his professional debut as our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Anthony Polamini. Anthony. Well, good evening, Anthony.
Good evening, Major.
No, that was 2 weeks ago, Anthony, the Major. Don't tell me I'm starting to resemble the Mage.
No, Fred. I'm a little nervous, I guess.
You have nothing to be nervous about, Anthony. I heard you sing on Major Bo's show, and you were swell. The Major and I have high hopes for your future.
I hope you and the Major are right, Fred.
Well, I'm sure when our audience hears you tonight, the opinions will be unanimous. Tell me, Anthony, what is your voice?
I'm a lyric baritone.
And how long have you been working on your singing?
Well, I've been studying almost 6 years.
Major Bo said your recent appearance, as I remember, on his show was your second.
That's right.
The Major liked you so well he brought you back?
No, it was just the opposite, Fred.
Well, how do you mean, Anthony?
Well, the first time I went on the Major's program 4 years ago, I wasn't so good.
A little bird told you?
No, the Major told me.
He did. He came right out with it, huh? Well, what did he say?
The Major said I needed a lot more study.
And so you returned to your scales and metronome?
I studied 4 years, and then I went back to the major just to show him.
Well, you certainly did show him, as I remember. Tell me, how old are you, Anthony?
I'm 22.
And your ambition, like most young singers today, is to sing at the Metropolitan?
Yes, Fred, except that I would like to specialize in comic roles like Don Pasquale and Figaro.
Well, are you going to sing an aria from one of these operas?
Yes, Fred. I'd like to repeat the one I did for Major Bowes from The Barber of Seville.
The Major liked that one, didn't he?
Oh, yes. The second time, Major Bowes said a lot of nice things.
Well, Major Bowes is a wonderful man, Anthony. Did you know that Major Bowes is not really his right name? Did you ever hear how the Major happened to acquire his nom de plume?
No.
Well, I'll tell you. Major Bowes, this is confidential. Don't let this go any farther than a 12 Crosley rating, if you can help it.
No, I won't.
Now, I'll tell you. Major Bowes' real name is Colonel Phineas T. Higginbottom. Now, about 10 years ago, the Major, or Colonel Phineas, rather, was traveling through the West selling a termite destroyer for totem poles. Now, he stopped over one night in a small Indian village, and as the colonel was resting on the porch of his trailer in the cool of the evening, two half-breeds came up to him and offered to make some genuine Indian souvenirs for the colonel at a slight fee. Colonel Phineas agreed, and the next morning, while he was having breakfast, two sets of beautifully decorated bows and arrows were delivered to him at the camp. Colonel Phineas went out on the porch of his trailer to dicker and pay off the two Indians who were waiting for their wampum, and the colonel asked the redmen what work each had done. The first Indian said, "Ugh, whittle your arrows." The second Indian said, "Ugh, Major Bowes." Well, sir, a unit was passing. A unit was passing and heard that Indian say Major Bowes to the colonel, and they thought it was his name. Well, word was bruited about, and to this day, Colonel Phineas T. Higginbottom is known as Ugh Major Bowes. What do you think of that, Anthony?
Or shall I sing now, Fred?
Yes, Anthony, I think you'd better in self-defense.
Bravo Figaro, bravo, bravissimo, bravo. La 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 la. Fortunatissimo per verità, bravo. La 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 la. Fortunatissimo per verità. Fortunatissimo per verità. La 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 la. Pronto per tutto, la notte e il giorno, sempre intorno in giro sta. Miglior cucagna per un barbiere, vita più nobile non si dà. La 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 la. E rasori e pettini, lanciati i forbici, al mio comando tutto qui sta. E lanciati i forbici, rasori e pettini, al mio comando tutto qui sta. Ve la risorsa. Poi del mestiere, con la donnetta, col cavaliere, con la donnetta, la 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 la, col cavaliere, la 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 la. Figaro, 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 ehi, Figaro! Oimè, oimè, che furia, oimè, che folla, una alla volta, per carità, per carità, per carità, una alla volta, una alla volta, una alla volta, per carità. Sono qua. Ehi, Figaro. Sono qua, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro su, Figaro giù, Figaro su, Figaro giù. Non c'è prestissima, so che mi spondere, sono il macodum della città, della città, della città, della città. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, a te fortuna, te fortuna, te fortuna non mancherà. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, a te fortuna, te fortuna, te fortuna non mancherà. Sono il facodum della città, sono il facodum della città, della città, della città, della città.
unanimous opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you are invited to join the Allen Anti-Worry League. No more furrowed brows, no more gnawed fingernails, no more...
Wait a minute, Fred. Just what is the Allen Anti-Worry League?
Well, just what it says, Jimmy. It's an organization to suppress worry.
But it's natural to worry, Fred.
But it's so useless, Jimmy. Now, after all, worry doesn't pay. It wrinkles your forehead. It ruins your digestion. It shortens your life. So the motto of my league is, why worry?
Say, I think you've got something, Fred. Worry is futile. I'll join the Allen Anti-Worry League.
Well, good for you, Jimmy. Now, look, will you see if you can drum up some more members for me?
I'll do my best. Ladies and gentlemen, and prospective members of the Allen Anti-Worry League, there are a lot of things in this old world you could worry about, but why worry? For instance, here are two of the 40 things about your car you could worry about. The water pump and the shackle bolt. Are they getting enough lubrication? Is the proper lubricant being used? But why worry when Texaco dealers promise you peace of mind if you just drive in for a Marfac job every 1,000 miles? Marfac, spelled M-A-R-F-A-K, is Texaco's 40-point chassis lubrication service. And remember, Marfac is no ordinary grease, but a lubricant specially made to stick to its job. Yes, when you stop for a Marfac job, Texaco dealers work by chart and not by chance. They check more than 40 different points and see to it that every vital friction spot in the chassis is protected with that super-tough chassis lubricant, Texaco Marfac. So why worry? Enjoy smooth driving. Next time, try a Texaco dealer. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Conducting an orchestra, a thing like this, a long mastoid splinter you find anyplace. You shake it at a lot of guys who belong at in 802 and the thing goes itself. But that was a small order of sugar pie cut by Fred Allen and his pastry philharmonic. And now, ladies and gentlemen, well, if I conduct it, at least give me the credit. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn to the, Kenny, wake up. Kenny.
What?
Wake up. You can't doze off like that in the middle of the program.
Oh, I'm sorry, F.A. I'm all in. I must have dropped off.
What is it about this program that induces slumber?
Oh, it isn't the program, F.A.
Then what is suddenly making you nap happy, Kenny?
I was at a New Year's party last night. Boy, what a party.
Had yourself a time, hey?
Brother, the joint was jumping.
Yeah, building inspector didn't crash in. Well, how long did the party last?
About midnight, we ran out of Coca-Cola, so we broke it up.
Kenny, you weren't out until midnight.
Yep, I must have had 40 cherry Cokes.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, you Liggett Lush.
But it's only one day in the whole year, F.A.
And Wednesday is only one day in the whole week, Kenny. But it happens to be the day that you have to work. Now, you can't come reeling around here after a measly 10 hours sleep with that phosphate on your breath.
Well, gee, I couldn't break up the party. What a mob of playboys.
High flyers, eh?
Scooters were lined up for 2 blocks.
Everybody dressed, of course.
You bet. And boy, was I hot. Top hat, white tie, and mother of pearl yo-yo.
Now, I'd like to... That must have looked well with your white tie. Well, it sounds to me as though this affair was an orgy. Mother of pearl yo-yo, eh? You had the tortoise entrails for string, I imagine. It sounds as though this affair was an orgy.
It sure was. Along about 10 o'clock, a guy from Albany whipped out a handful of corn silk and rolled a cigarette.
Whipped out a handful of corn
yes.
silk? He didn't light it.
He sure did. And then he passed it around and everybody took a puff.
Kenny Baker, you didn't take a puff of that Barnyard Lucky.
No, I was outside watching for cops.
Well, a fine thing. Corn silk, cigarettes, cherry cokes, cops.
I kissed a girl, too.
Kenny.
Does that mean we're engaged?
Well, not the... No, not in this day and age, Kenny. Times have changed. When I was young and kissed a girl, do you know what it meant?
Yeah, somebody was holding her.
Now, just a minute, Kenny. You know, I haven't always looked like this, you know. You know, as a boy, these bags under my eyes used to fit into my jowl.
They didn't hang down like they do today?
Oh, no. This new suspension work on the eyes here. And in those days, I had long, wavy eyelashes, big, bushy eyebrows. Why, looking into my eyes was like peeking into a Fuller Brush Man's sample case. But now, you don't change the subject now. You're trying to talk me out of it. I'm finding out about this debauchery of yours. Portland.
Yes, Mr. Allen?
Now, didn't you promise me that you'd keep an eye on Kenny?
Yes, I tried to keep him from going to that party last night. But Kenny has a mind of his own.
Oh, he rented it for the evening? Well, this roistering has got to stop. Now, I'm going to find a way to make Kenny turn over a new leaf.
Well, this is New Year's, Mr. Allen. Kenny should make a resolution.
Hello?
Just a minute, please. Mr. Goodman, who told you to butt in here?
Goodman's finger is moving down the page to where it says, Enter Goodman. I, Goodman, enter. Hello, he says.
What a reading. The Lowell Thomas of the Minsk Odessa Network.
Mr. Goodman, we're all starting the new year off right. Will you join us in a resolution?
Nothing doing. And this I'm saying in all sincerity.
Well, what have you got against... What have you got against resolutions?
You think my family left the old country because there they had daisy chains?
No, look, the word is resolution, not revolution.
Resolution, revolution, as long as you keep running.
Mr. Goodman.
Whom I happen to be?
We know who you are. One more word out of you, Mr. Goodman, and it will be from an ex-employee.
One more word from a certain party, and I, Goodman, become automatically a picket.
What can I do? Oh, yes, our New Year's resolution.
It's pretty hard to keep a resolution.
I've got a resolution I bet I can keep.
Well, what is it, Kenny?
I resolve never to break the traffic laws on the island of Yap.
Where is the island of Yap?
It's in the South Seas. I saw it in a travelogue.
The island of Yap? Well, what kind of a test of willpower is that if you're never going there?
With my agent, do I know where I'm going to sing next?
When visiting the island of Yap in the South Seas, to my brother-in-law, say hello.
What is your brother-in-law doing on a South Sea island?
Say, when they deport you, it ain't a far rockaway.
Oh, that brother-in-law. Say, how is he getting along in the tropics?
Already he's got a Broadway connection.
Doing what?
He's auditioning coconuts for Sloppy Joe's.
We are not getting any place with Kenny's resolution.
Kenny's getting too pessimistic, Mr. Allen. He should make it a resolution to be more happy.
Too late now, Porty. I'm a bitter boy.
And why are you a bitter boy, Kenny Baker? I'll tell you why. Why did you get into all of that trouble with Dennis Day over paying that sightseeing money, the bill there? What is it that causes all of your worries and is making you unhappy?
I give up.
It's money.
Is it?
Kenny, how many times have you told me that the happiest days of your life you spent as an errand boy working for the A&P?
Yes, those were the days. Pushing my little cart along, weaving in and out of traffic, singing merrily.
You see? Now today, you clink when you walk. You have money. You're a clinker. Money has robbed you of that happiness, Kenny Baker.
You think so, F.A.?
Well, I know so. And if you want to be happy during 1941, there is only one resolution you should make.
What, F.A.?
Now, you resolve... Listen to an old man, Kenny. You resolve not to take any increase in salary this year.
But that's not up to me, F.A. Suppose you insist on giving me a raise.
Well, I'll cooperate. I won't offer you.
I don't want to put you to any trouble.
No sacrifice is too great, Penny. After all, your happiness is at stake.
But I'm thinking of your happiness, F.A.
Two schmoozers. Who are they kidding?
Mr. Goodman. Now, look, Kenny. To ensure your happiness in 1941, here is my first New Year's resolution. I resolve not to give you a raise.
And I, Kenneth Baker, resolve that during 1941, I will not take a raise. It says in the script.
A shrewd move, Kenny. Now you can recapture that pixie outlook, a measure of that supreme contentment that was yours as an errand boy for the A&P. And now for your song. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker...
Well, Mr. Allen.
Yes, Kenny.
I don't want to be a pig, but I would like to go even further with that resolution.
Further?
Yes. If I'm going to be as happy as I used to be, I wish you'd take $2 off my present salary.
$2 off your present salary will make you happy as of yore? Why?
Because then I'll be getting exactly what I got when I was an errand boy for the A&P.
Deal.
Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker, the old A&P gypsy, sings, "I'll Take You Home Again, Kathleen."
Will feel no pain, and when the fields are fresh and green, I'll take you to your home again, Kathleen, across the ocean wild and wide, where your heart has ever been, since first you were my bonny bride. The roses all have left your cheek. I've watched them fade away and die. Your voice is sad whenever you speak, and tears bedim your loving eyes. Heart will feel no pain, and when the fields are fresh and green, I'll take you to your home.
Mr. Allen, may I use your microphone at once?
Well,
it's an emergency. I just ran all the way from the Bank Tellers Protective Association. I must warn the public at once.
Well, if it's important, is it...
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bank Tellers Protective Association brings you an important warning. The next time you write the date on a check, please remember this. This is now 1941. Do not date your checks 1940. I thank you.
Well, is that all you wanted to say? Gosh, that seems like a trifle for a big piece of gristle like you to be getting out of breath about.
Trifle? Mr. Allen, tomorrow, unless they're warned, thousands of people will absentmindedly date their checks 1940. There will be a deluge of dud checks in every bank.
Well, say, as an expert on duds and banks, you'll be interested in meeting an expert on duds and tanks. Now, let me present James Wallington, M.D., Master of Duds. There are duds in tanks, aren't there, Jimmy?
Yes, and in carburetors, too. For despite all the gasoline in your tank, when you step on the starter these cold mornings, you're dependent on just a few chilled ounces of gasoline in your carburetor. And that's where duds, those sluggish, slow-action elements in gasoline, can really hold up your starting, weaken your battery. Duds simply won't vaporize instantly, won't take the spark fast. That's why the duds are removed by a special Texaco refining process. They're out, all out, of Texaco Fire Chief. Yes, Fire Chief is all action. Takes hold quickly, fires evenly. Your engine picks up, warms up fast, to full power. Next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief at regular gasoline prices. Remember, there's not a dud in a tank full.
Now, the Texaco Workshop players start their 1941 season with a burlesque of one of radio's most popular programs, The Quiz Kids. Music, maestro.
As their theme song fades, we bring to a close another 5 minutes of dance music played by Anatole Feinschreiber and his Aristocrats of Corn. Anatole Feinschreiber and his Aristocrats may be heard again over the same station, but we doubt it.
This is station KRUM. We regret to announce that the correct time, which was to be heard at this time, will not be heard at this time. Instead, the correct time, which was to be heard at 10 o'clock, will be heard at this time. Stand by for this substitute correct time announcement.
When you hear this correct time signal at 10 o'clock, the correct time at that time will be exactly 10 o'clock. Thank you.
And now, station KRUM presents... The Quiz Nippers.
And here he is, that genial sophisticate, the custodian of our super-intelligent group of child prodigies, Kerry Jelly.
Well, good evening, folks. Good evening, folks. Sitting in front of me in their little high chairs here in the studio are the original Quiz Nippers, four outstanding children who have been selected at random from the city's kindergartens. Now, before we start, I know you want to meet our junior brain trust. And first, from the Effie Eggleston Day Nursery, the tiny John Kieran, five-year-old Elmer Prentice. Say hello, Elmer.
Hello.
Elmer, is that the way we greet our radio friends?
Oh, yeah. How do you do, members of my unseen audience? I trust we meet on a mensual plane.
That's better.
Yes.
I think you've been up a little late tonight, Elmer. You look pale and haggard. That was little Elmer Prentice, folks. Now here's our second quiz nipper. The sage of the Lydia Pinkham Junior Grammar School, Lilliputian Millicent Goon.
The fall of Babylon occurred in 23 B.C.
Not now,
Millie. Witchcraft had its heyday in the Middle Ages.
Well, thank you, dear.
The law of gravity was discovered by Sir Isaac Newton.
If you just...
Something fell on his head.
Yes, and something is going to fall on your head, honey. If you don't shut that tiny little oboe trap.
No shoes.
Here, what did you say? You bad girl. And here is our Pee-wee music critic... Deems Taylor on the hoof, or the half shell, he's little Marvin Clare.
Good evening, symphony lovers.
You seem to have a head cold, Marvin.
Yes, it was caused by the draft from Toscanini's bats home. I must wear my windbreaker at his next concert.
Yes, bundle up well. Get some burlap under your little windbreaker. And now that brilliant little star of our program, Tiny Rollo. Say, Rollo's high chair is empty. Where is Rollo?
Say, isn't this the night Rollo lectures at Columbia?
No, that's Tuesday.
I saw him at lunch with Einstein.
Maybe Rollo's on information please tonight.
No, that's Friday night. I just left Golan Paul. Say, this is terrible.
Oh, cheese it, Mr. Jelly. Here comes Mr. Krovney, our sponsor.
Now, see here, Jelly. Where is that other quiz nipper?
Rollo is missing, Mr. Krovney.
Missing? You know very well Rollo Keene is the star of this diaper forum.
Yes,
you just talked me into signing that kid for the entire season.
Well, we can give a show without him.
Ah, the quiz nippers without Rollo is like the Rochester program without Phil Harris.
We're on the air, Mr. Krovney.
And you'd better start what's left of the program. I'll go out and look for Rollo.
Yes, sir.
And if I don't find him, Jelly, tomorrow you'll be back calling all men to Barney's. Goodbye.
Well, that's an unrehearsed program for you folks. Well, I guess we'd better get going with our quiz. Are we ready, Nippers?
Yes, Mr. Jelly.
All right. Now, until Rollo gets here, we'd better try some easy questions. And our first question, kiddies, comes from Merton Merton of Woebegone, Oregon. And the question is, can you complete the following quotation? A stitch in time saves what?
An appendix patient?
No, no. No, Marvin.
Has it any geometrical significance, Mr. Jelly?
No, Elmer. Well, this question is really too childish for your super minds, kiddies. I think I really ought to give you a hint. It's really so simple. The answer, let me say, is a number.
Is the number 7?
No. A stitch in time does not save 7, Millicent.
You said it was a number.
Yes, but the number we want is not 7.
It is near 7?
Yes. The number is between 7 and 10. It is not 8.
It is 9?
9 is correct, Marvin. Oh, you little wonder kitty. Amazing little shavers, aren't they, folks? Now, attention, kiddies. This next sticker comes from Mrs. Higgamus Hoggamus of Gopher Hole, Montana. Mrs. Hoggamus wants you to name 4 pairs of famous lovers mentioned in history. You have your hand up, Millicent.
Romeo and Juliet?
Yes, that's 1. Marvin?
Antony and Cleopatra.
2. Elmer?
You and the sponsor's wife.
Quiet, quiet.
I saw you behind the water cooler.
Quiet,
you weren't hugging a Dixie cup.
Witty little runt, isn't he? Well, we lose our first question, and that sends $2 to Mrs. Higgamus Hoggamus.
Oh, golly.
Yes, we're not doing so well, kiddies. If Mr. Jelly pays out much more money tonight, he won't have enough money left to buy our ice cream soda.
Oh, for goodness
sake. Yeah, I bet if Rollo was here, we wouldn't be missing these questions.
Well, don't mention Rollo's name to me. I wonder where that little rat is.
Look, Mr. Jelly, here's Mr. Krovny.
And Rollo's with him.
Rollo?
Mr. Krovny, thank heavens you found Rollo.
Yes, I found him, Jelly, but a fat lot of good he is to us now.
You mean something's wrong with the world's smartest sprat?
You'll see what's wrong in a minute. Come over here, Rollo. Say something.
Hello, Mr. Jelly. I'm sorry.
I'm late.
Dad, what was that? A mixed duet?
Mixed duet, my foot. Rollo's voice is changing.
Yeah, I start talking soprano and I wind up...
Talking bass. It's mortifying.
This is an adolescent crisis, Mr. Krovny.
You should have foreseen this, Jelly. But no, Rollo was our biggest attraction. I had to sign him for the entire season. What good is this brat's contract now?
Oh, yeah? Try and bust my contract. You'll see how good it is.
I'll get Leibowitz. That's what I'll do.
Gad, the kid's a cad. He's got us with his voice down.
Jelly, if you don't get this kid's voice back up in his nose until his contract runs out, I'm firing you and the whole show as of now.
Say, I've got an idea, Mr. Krovny. The power of suggestion.
The power of...
The suggestion?
Yes, Rollo, for my sake, for your sake, for the sake of the whole program, concentrate.
Concentrate?
Yes.
On what?
On childish things. Now, if you think young, you'll talk young, Rollo. Think of a yo-yo.
A yo-yo, yes, sir, a yo-yo.
Think of a top.
A top, yes, sir, a top.
Wonderful.
You think this yogi stuff will do the trick, Jelly?
What? It's got to, Mr. Krovny. I've got a movie magazine here. Now, I want you to look at these movie kiddies pictures, Rollo.
Yes, Mr. Jelly.
Look, oh, look, here's Baby Sandy.
Oh, boy, Baby Sandy.
Here's little Shirley Temple.
Oh, little Shirley Temple.
And here's wee Mickey Rooney.
Wahoo! Mickey Rooney!
Congratulations, Jelly! Rollo's voice is up again. You saved the show.
Yes, Mr. Krovny. Just one more movie star's picture, Rollo, and you're cured.
Yeah, Mr. Jelly, turn the page.
All right, Rollo.
Gad, his voice! What picture is he looking at?
Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr! Well, I'll beat!
For heaven's sakes, Rollo, stop looking at that picture.
It's too late, Mr. Jelly. Today I am a man.
And now Larry Elliott's thought for 1941.
When you change the license plates on your car this year, put on your new ones for 1941. Here's something worth thinking about. If you're an average motorist, your mileage for the coming year will total about 8,500 miles. But note this fact. The average motorist today, compared to the average motorist in 1920, travels 4,250 miles each year for nothing, as far as the cost of gasoline is concerned, because the price of gasoline minus taxes has come down 50% since 1920. Yes, gasoline is cheap, but that's not all, for the petroleum industry has seen to it that you also get better products as well as more for your money.
Thank you, Larry. This is Fred Allen, ladies and gentlemen, saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.